Welcome, everyone, to the West Print Sports Review here on Planet FM. This show is proudly sponsored by West Print. They're based at 9 Prairie Street in New Lynn. Their phone number is 09827 8531, or if you want to email them, they're westprint.co.nz. Wow, what a crappy day it was yesterday, and it's not too bad today, a bit cold and a bit miserable as it has been in the city, just trying to get a bus here. But fantastic, good weekend. I was out at Waitemata Park, watching a bit of club rugby. Was also at Gribblehurst Park, watching our 21s go down to, not a bad Papatoe side, 24 points to 8. So we'll just do a quick wrap. I'm just going to do a quick wrap of the club rugby around the region. Auckland Club Rugby, Eden 29, Waitemata 5. Good win by Eden. They had a lot of guys out, and it's good to get that 5-pointer at Waitemata Park. Grammar, real close one away at Papatoe, 17-15. Manukau Rovers, 27, Waitakere 18. Rifles, 47, Mara 7. A real professional performance by Rifles. And Suburbs, 14, Pakuranga 8. Ponsonby were defaulted to against Otahuhu. And North Harbour, Kumu 24, Silverdale 7, North Shore 19, East Coast Bays 3, Northcote 28, Massey 7. That's the only results I have. Club semi-finals in the county's Manukau region, Mangarewa 37, Karaka 12, Ardmore Maris 26, Pukekohe 10, in the plate, Waiuku 53, Papakura 15, and Bombay 81, Weymouth 5. But as we get ready for the club season in Auckland to head towards that crucial stage, I'd like to welcome on board, as I do every Monday, former All Black and huge Grammar and ex-Grammar legend and player, AJ Wetton. AJ, how the hell are you today, mate?
Oh, good, mate. Another day. You're breathing, so you've got to take the positive today. Oh, mate. As you said, a bit of a squeaky bum with Grammar on the weekend, getting past that pepper. But you always said there's going to be a tough one, and you were right, Biggie.
Oh, mate, they don't call me Notre Dame for nothing, buddy. So that's it. So anyway, yeah, this club rugby season in Auckland, I tell you what, it's going to come down to next Saturday. Eden has Waitakere, and no offence to Waitakere, but I think Eden will get the 5 points there. University has Manukau. I can see the 5 points going there. Ponsonby has Otahuhu. I can actually see Ponsonby having a 5-pointer, but the big game will be the Waka Nathan and Fred Allen Cup Challenge, which will be Grammar Tech versus College Rifles, and that should be a hell of a match, AJ. You'll be out there watching that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, but it's pretty easy. Ponsonby are through, Grammar's not far away, but they have to win to beat Rifles, because Rifles in second or first, top of the table. So, look, if they don't lose, you've mentioned the other teams, Varsity and Eden, who are right on their bum. They'll have victories, I have no doubt. So if they don't pull this one out of the fire, Biggie, I think they'll end up fifth and miss those semi-finals.
Which has been, but the season, it's actually been a really close season this year at Auckland Club Rugby. It's actually been great to watch. It was out at Waitemata Park. When you go to Waitemata, and you'd know going there as a player or a supporter, they used to always get to you when they charge you for car parking. If you needed to borrow a change of room, you had to pay for that there and pay for that there. But it was a pleasant experience, apart from the probably cold weather. But it was a good win by Eden. Very, very impressed with our performance. So anyway, this weekend we have the All Blacks versus Tonga in the first test of the season. AJ, just your thoughts. I know it's the first. We've already lost another player. Braden Enor has gone. So the All Blacks 15. Do you believe they'll probably trot out their best 15 for this game?
I think they'll try and have a balance. I think they know they've got the two Fijian matches coming, and they've got the squad. But they'll try and give everyone a go, which I'm sure they will. But first one up always seems to be a bit scrappy for the All Blacks. But against Tonga, I know it's not to be too disrespectful, but I'm sure the boys they put on the track will be good enough. And say, a mixture of experience, a mixture of youth, see a couple of combinations, get some guys on the field who haven't had a lot of rugby lately, and then they'll come down and change it over for the following week.
Yeah, just on that, Brody Retallick's back in the All Black squad. Can you see him starting that test or at least coming off the bench?
Maybe off the bench. As I say, been out of the circle for a while, but a man of his ability and what he brings, I mean, he's world class.
Oh, yeah.
To be frank. We all know that. So I think they just might say, well, Brody, we need to bring you in. Do you get a start? Do you come off the bench, give you a few minutes, and then have a full run the following week? But, I mean, there's plenty of talent there, Biggie. I mean, you know, to have the choices of the calibre of players. I mean, poor Tonga will be sitting there going, you know, we've got our team and that's it and our squad. You know, here we are with a, you know, the bundles of talent that the All Blacks have at their whim to choose.
They certainly do. And, of course, a lot of the Tongan squad, there's quite a few players from Auckland Club Rugby, and they're one of them being Eden's Sione Tuipiloto, who hopefully will get his first cap for Tonga. So that's great for Sione, and a hell of a nice guy, and he's well-deserved. And he'll be playing for Auckland this year in the Mitre 10 Cup. Just some of the other thoughts. I was actually watching a bit of that Lions-Japan match, and, of course, injury concerns already for the Lions. Alan Wynne-Jones, who was appointed as captain, is already out. Connor Murray has been installed as captain. They've had a number of other injuries, both replaced by Welshman. The British press is already up in arms saying that Gatland is just supporting his Welsh cronyism, but hey, that's what happens in any Lions tour. This series against South Africa, AJ, I think this one's going to be a really, really close one.
Well, I hope so. The British Barbarians, I mean, that's quite Lions. Iconic, and they've got a huge brand and a huge following. So it's important that they've got to go out there with the right mindset. This is no holiday. They'll be playing the world champions. Possibly, maybe a wee bit underdone with the calibre and the strength of their own competition and playing internally. Not like over here at the Aotearoa. I'm sure it would have been a great warm-up for them. But I think two teams that have got a lot at stake. One is a world champion, not to lose that mantle, and the other are the UK Barbarians, which are, you know, one of the icon teams in world rugby. A huge tradition. And one where they would be expected to go in, shall we say, is maybe slight favourites. A lot riding on it. And as I say, those injuries won't help, especially the skipper. He is huge. So let's see how deep they deep when they eventually arrive on South African soil.
Yep, you're dead right there, AJ. Of course, I believe there was supposed to be a midweek test, and that's still up in the air, or it may be going ahead with no fans. Australia versus France. Well, as per usual, the French brought out a B team for the first test, as a lot of their players were committed to their club rugby final, which was won by Toulouse over La Rochelle, 14 points to 8, I think it was. So let's go. I'll get that score, but that should be interesting. I can see the Wallabies possibly winning that one, more because the French won't have probably their top cattle there. But with the COVID situation in Australia, whether this test series goes ahead, who knows?
Yeah, it's a tough one here, but they need to go ahead. I think they'll find ways, no crowds, and then they'll move it to the other territories. I know there's a few cases popping up, but this is just the way of the world now, Piggy. It's not good. But, you know, there's commitments, you know, sponsors and all these things come into the equation. I know about the health, but they've just got to manage it the best they can. And, you know, we're dying to see international rugby. We're going to have to make some sacrifices of it to continue. And this is one of them. No crowd.
Yeah, and that's the way it's probably going to be. Like in the Lions series will be played behind doors, no crowds. So, you know, it is the way it is, and we're probably quite lucky at the moment to be in New Zealand, even though Wellington is under level 2 and we don't know when they're going to get out of that, but that we can still have crowds at our game. So I think we're in quite a privileged position, AJ.
Well, we are indeed, and that'll go for another 48 hours. I'll be right, as long as there's no cases. Be back to the normal. We'll have club rugby this weekend. We'll have the All Blacks playing Tonga, and then more international season, and before you know it, we'll be talking NPC. So,
oh, yeah,
a lot of exciting stuff ahead of us. So, as I said, we're very privileged, very lucky.
Yep, we certainly are. Of course, as we count down to the first anniversary show in a few weeks' time, and I might even save you a piece of cake because, as you know, I'm going. I'll be going for my Warren Fitness so tomorrow with the doctors. So, I think I'll be told to cut back on quite a lot of stuff, AJ. I'm dreading this visit. So, yeah.
Well, I said, with a piece of cake, I know how big mine will be. Mate, it'll be a slither compared to yours, but hey.
On that note, AJ, it has been absolutely fantastic talking to you. Good, go out and enjoy Grammar versus Rifle, as I will be enjoying Eden versus Waitakere, and we'll catch up next Monday.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you. See you, mate. Bye. AJ Wetton, always great to have always has to have the last word, doesn't he? Okay, I'll play a bit of music and we'll talk a bit of State of Origin with Bluey McLennan. We'll also talk about the goings-on at the Warriors. It's been a quiet week in the NRL, but welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on I pressed the wrong button, so I do apologise. It's the usual mistakes I make, and a year in I should know better, but now it was a quiet week in NRL, no games, but there was State of Origin too. Also, some comings and goings at the Warriors, some interesting new signings, possible departures. And here to speak about it, as we do every Monday, Brian Bluey McLennan. Bluey, how the hell are you, mate?
Yeah, real good, Pricky. How you doing?
Oh, mate, good, but not as good as New South Wales at the moment, mate. The State of Origin team, they're on fire, man.
Yeah, they're very impressive. It's actually scary how good they are. And it just shows you what you can do with your team when you have two absolute class centres. Some of the plays that Latrell Mitchell come up with and Tom Trbojevic are special to them. You know, not many others can do it as well as they can. You know, and they've got a nice balanced side right throughout anyway. They're strong right across the park. But yeah, adding those two, and it's phenomenal. It's scary how good they are.
Oh, they were just fantastic, and of course, you know, as we just said off here, when we were having our chat before we came on live, was Tommy Turbo, this guy, I think, if we go ahead with the food game, which I hope we do, is going to be the player of the series. He has just been outstanding. His attack has been brilliant, but his defence, you see how he try saver for when Xavier Coates looked like all but scoring that try for Queensland.
Yeah, just the peace of mind, isn't it, to know what to do. And I thought, he gave an early pass to Addo Carr, for his first try, and he knew that was so that he could push up in the inside, because Addo Carr had to speed to go and make it a 2v1 versus Valentine Holmes. So just a really clever player, and obviously he's doing some really big things at Manly, and fullback's his preferred position, but he's so good he can play anywhere else.
He certainly can. Of course, Queensland had a lot of interruptions before their build up before this game. Reece Walsh out with an injury, the replacement, I don't actually have his name, ineligible to play for Queensland because of the rules that you have to be a resident of Queensland before you're 13. He came from Auckland at the age of 14. He may want to play for the Kiwis. That may be an option for him. It's really up to him. I believe he's played for Samoa. And I just really feel that while Queensland it probably made some small improvements, this New South Wales side, I think it's going to be a whitewash. And it doesn't matter if they bring Reece Walsh in, he may give them more attack, but I really can't see this. They're just a juggernaut, Bluey. That's the way I see it at the moment.
Yeah, they're in a bit of trouble, Clint. I don't think Paul Green's handling the job. I thought they'd come up. They come out really committed. They had really good line speed. Their defence was a huge improvement. But they got no attack. They looked confused. They didn't know what shapes they were running on whom. They were an absolute mess offensively. They had no strike in them at all. I'm kind of glad that Reece Walsh didn't end up playing because he would have got left in a limb. I just don't think this Queensland side's been handled very well.
Certainly has, and of course, the first thing I noticed is that they're not even getting front forward ball. Like when you've got a player like Cam Munster, he's not able to make an impact on this game at all.
Well, he's their best player, and he didn't handle the ball nowhere near enough. He should have had double the touches he has, because he's the most dangerous player with the ball in his hand. And it's pretty simple. Get the player in your best player's hand. And that didn't happen enough. And not only that, you want to have shape in and around a Munster so that he can play. He's got options around him, and that helps free him up a little bit, and that just didn't happen enough either.
It certainly didn't. Well, we get on to the New Zealand Warriors. Big signing at the end of the week that probably took everyone by surprise. Sean Johnson's coming home. A real, real big surprise because none of us were expecting it. You weren't expecting it and I wasn't expecting it, Bluey. What's your thoughts on this?
Look, I think it's a good move. I know it's turning back time, but I think you always got to look at value on a salary cap, and if they're getting him for what they're saying they're getting him for, that's value because he has a lot of experience. He loves the city, is where he's from. He's more mature now. He's a father.
Yep.
A lot more resilient. I think it's actually a good move, and I really wish the best for Sean. I hope he really gets this opportunity that he can come back and absolutely slay it, and there'd be nothing better than for him to come turn the club around and take it to its first premiership. It would just be the most wonderful story. He has the ability to do it. It's just a matter of him being more consistent and a little bit more hard-nosed in his approach in the game.
And of course the other news coming out of that is that from by all reports, Cody Nikorima, even though he has signed a contract, looks like he could be heading back to either the Gold Coast or the Brisbane Broncos.
Yeah, that's the reports coming out. He'd prefer to carry on living in Australia, and you know, that's Cody's choice, obviously. So you know, the Warriors have obviously moved to shore up, to make sure. And I think the Warriors genuinely do want somebody that can manage the game a bit better. It just makes it so much easier for the team when you've got a half that can ice some plays to maybe get you that extra repeat set, or, you know, get you that 6 points when you need it. So, you know, that's what Sean can do. You know, that's why they've moved as they have.
Certainly have, and of course, you know, that you imagine the combination he could have potentially with Reece Walsh. That's excitement for Warriors fans, and I do agree with you. Those few seasons away, I think you'll probably see a different Sean Johnson from what we've seen in the past, a more mature, and he'll probably, you know, we'll see what we've always known. He'll probably show the potential that he will lead this side around, Bluey.
I think so. In his last game he played, he took the line on near the end there, and he looked really good. So he's still got the ability to beat players, Sean. And just playing at Cronulla, you know, whose DNA is Paul Gallen. He would have picked up some, you know, tough mental attitude just being involved in that Cronulla outfit. So bring that back and just be really aggressive and then lead the Warriors strongly.
Yeah, speaking about the Sharks, Chad Townsend has been a mid-season transfer. He'll be with the Warriors until the end of the season, with Chanel Tavita Harris out for the rest of the season. So hopefully he'll be combining with Cody Nikorima in the half. Yeah, that's actually a really good that's a real good buy just to fill in the season, and potentially may give the Warriors some hope going in, potentially of making the eight.
Well, that's the big point you make there, Piggy. It's about trying to make the eight. Now, they won't make the eight unless they can manage their way around the park, and that's what Chad will be able to do. You know, he's linking up with North Queensland Cowboys next year under Todd Payton, so he's been at the club before. So, you know, that's another good move by the Warriors, you know, just trying to help the team and get him around the park and make things a little bit easier. And I'm sure Chad will be able to do that for the Warriors. But just to try and get them to sneak in the eight, give them some experience, the team, and get them right, you know, so they can have a real good shot at it next year.
Yeah, I think depending on how the season goes, and of course with the COVID-19 situation, we don't know where the Warriors are going to be playing. They could be in Newcastle, they could be anywhere, because they're in an infected area in the Central Coast. But having the likes of, for next season, having the likes of Chad there, having Dallin there, I think it's going to offer, and Reece Walsh and Roger there, they've got a great chance of making the eight, Bluey.
Yeah, they have. The dynamics of the team personnel-wise has changed quite dramatically, hasn't it, you know, in the last year. You know, and it really needed to. It's fresh, you know, it's freshening up. Hopefully next year we're a lot better in terms of the COVID, so they can, you know, come home and be a New Zealand team again. You can only just wish the Warriors all the best. For all the challenges they've been through, I think they've pulled on everyone's heartstrings, and you know, and they deserve to have people saying, "Hey, you know, we need to support and help the Warriors," because you know, it's been an incredible achievement by what they've done thus far.
Yep, certainly have. And just on some local league, and Fox Memorial Table, just had a quick look at it. Point Sheva leading Glenora, and third place, Mount Albert. So they've put on a bit of a gap in the Fox Memorial there, Bluey.
Yeah, and Howick's near there too, and so they're sort of looking top four-ish.
Yeah.
You know, they're strong clubs. You know, they're the clubs that have consistently been up, you know, and they're coming up into July, and My experiences with Fox over the years, July's the big month. That's the month, you know, it's the hardest month of the year. It's wet, it's miserable, and if you can, your team can navigate their way through there and pick up the 2 points and come into some form before you, you know, you hit into September and that, August, September, you're looking good.
Certainly are. Well, Bluey, thank you so much for your time. And we'll talk a bit of NRL next week. We'll have a, but you know, I think it's looking good for the Warriors, and hopefully, well, hopefully this game on the 15th of August in Auckland will still go ahead, depending on what the COVID situation is in Australia. Really hoping it is, and I'm usually on, usually before that, the old butcher usually has some sort of function before that, so I might pay up my couple of $100 and join you at the function.
Yeah, mate, I'll tell you what, this weekend's game coming up against St. George, that's the biggest game of the season for the Warriors.
Yeah,
that's,
make or break.
They need to win it. Yeah, you know, they've just got to claw their way to a victory if they have to, but yeah, it's a big game.
Certainly is. Well, Bluey, you have a great rest of the week, and we'll catch you next week, and might have a chat to you during the week, because we've definitely got to catch up before dry July starts for a beverage at some stage.
Good as gold, Piggy. Thank you, mate.
Cheers, thanks. That was Bluey McLennan. Geez, he's good, isn't he? It's great talking a bit of local league as well, too. Next up, we've got Alan McElroy. We're going to speak a bit of Euro 2020 and what Alan's been up to in this week. So a bit of music, and then we'll get Alan next. Welcome everyone back to the West Sprint Sports Review. Wow, Euro 2020 is definitely hotting up. We've had the we've had a few games in the 16, and of course some results that have really surprised me. Czech Republic 2-0 over the Netherlands. But here to speak to us is our football analyst, comedian. If he's not on Radio New Zealand, like he's on there all the time with his good friend Wallace. You'll see him at the comedy clubs. You'll see him in doing quizzes. He is one funny man, and it's Alan McElroy. How are you, Alan?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I did hear you with Wallace, so, you know, like your friend Wallace. Have you mentioned that, you know, when you're speaking about sports, that you speak to an expert every Monday?
No, well, I can't remember when I did that one. That was only last week, but, I didn't. I didn't know you were an expert. That's why you have me on, so I can't really call you an expert until... I forgot, to be honest. I'm sorry. I'll dig you up next time and make sure you're a regular.
I don't think I'd probably fit in with that Radio New Zealand crowd. I'm probably a bit too out there, aren't I? So, I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, let's speak about Euros. Starting off the first game, Denmark 4, Wales 0. So
yeah,
good. Denmark were very, very good, weren't they?
Denmark is, yeah, they're showing how great they are as a team. Like, Wales are pretty much, they're all always relying on, like, they've got great players, obviously, but they're relying on Gareth Bale. But same as Portugal. It's like the two teams with the star players went out to two teams that were very organised, were patient. And that was the main thing. The other teams were patient. And Denmark just showed their class when they played together as a team and absolutely smashed Wales. Wales were unlucky with some calls. And, like, it was never a sending off, but, you know, it is what it is. It's over now.
Yeah, I think it's been a good effort by Wales. You know, apart from Wales, they've actually... But it's really centred around Gareth Bale and Aaron Ramsey.
It really has. And that's a shame. And I think... well, I didn't see that much with Wales, but definitely if you talk about Portugal, you've seen it with Portugal where I think it got to the stage where some of the players were afraid of Ronaldo and how he would treat them if they missed the chance or missed the shot. You've seen Diego Jota miss the shot. They didn't play as a team. Wales were very similar as well. Unlucky at times, but in the end, they just fell apart.
Of course, the Italians showed how good they are, bringing substitutes off the bench to win 2-1 over Austria in extra time. I tell you what, and of course, they're going to be playing Belgium in that quarterfinal.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game.
Oh, yeah.
Belgium, again, even though they have star players, they do play as a team. They are you know, pretty solid, and they're getting better. But that's going to be a great game to watch.
And, of course, the Czech didn't bounce on the other game. 2-0 over the Netherlands. The Netherlands probably came in as one of the favourites, but the Czech Republic, they're becoming a bit of a dark horse in this tournament.
Well, that's it. You've seen them against Scotland in the first game. Scotland went at them, and Czech, they just relaxed. They were patient. And then when Scotland made mistakes, or when they got tired, then the Czechs pounced, and obviously they didn't do well against England, but yeah, they did the same against the Netherlands. So the Netherlands, the first 20 minutes, it was just an onslaught from the Dutch, and then, you know, they start coming back into it, but by the end, they were so precise with the passing and everything. They were just great, you know. They knew how to handle it well while the Dutch fell apart, but they have a history of doing that. That happens most tournaments for the Dutch.
Certainly does. Well, then of course, tomorrow we've got a couple of good ones coming up. Croatia, Spain, France, Switzerland. Well, I'm picking Croatia to beat Spain.
Are you?
Yeah, I think Croatia will beat Spain. I saw them against Scotland. They look pretty well organised.
Yeah, they're pretty organised again. Yeah, that'll go in their favour. I missed, because where I was staying over the weekend, I had no Wi-Fi, so I tried to catch up with everything this morning. And,
well, that's what good on you, Alan. That's the sort of, you know, sort of thing I expect out of my football expert.
Well, that's all right. No, it was great the whole morning, just sitting here eating bacon, watching football nonstop. But, I agree with you. I can see Croatia doing well. I love Spain. I've always loved watching them play. But, yeah, Croatia have that organisation.
And of course, France, I think they should beat Switzerland.
Ah, yeah, easily. They should get through. And you know, I love Shaqiri. Well, still just about a Liverpool player. But yeah, France have the quality there, don't they?
They certainly do. Then we've got England, Germany.
Yes! Oh, yeah. I have
penalty
to
shootout.
Jersey.
We have ways of making the talk. Penalty shootout. That's what's going to happen now.
You know, I said the same thing as well. It's penalty shootout, and I'm going to go out. It's going to be hilarious. The singing will stop. And then, I know. I obviously like to see Germany win, despite my English friends. So that's gonna be a pretty decent game as well.
Well, of course, what was it? The Germans, even though they probably didn't play their best game against Hungary, who was managed by Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Well, he looks terrified.
Oh God, geez, imagine walking him into a dark alley.
Yeah. What's his name? Marco Rossi. He looks absolutely terrifying. They look. Hungary again, a team, they look great playing together. So teamwork went well in their favour. Germany, yeah, they are all about teamwork. But I do definitely see Germany beating England. And hopefully it is on penalties, because that makes it even funnier.
Sweden versus the Ukraine. Wow.
Yeah. It's a game I don't think I'll get up for. It'll be a good game, but it's... I don't know. It might be a draw, penalties. I don't know what you reckon.
I think Sweden will. I think Sweden will take it.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be too exciting.
It's probably going to be Sweden will score in the first 20 minutes and then they'll put 10 man, then they'll have a 10 man defence.
Yeah, park the bus. I can skip that. But I'll catch the highlights. That'll do me.
Yeah, well, so how's the South Island been for you, Al?
The South Island was great. We were in Picton on Thursday night and that was loose. We were in an Irish bar called Seamus's and
yes,
the crowd.
Not well.
Were great. They just screaming and shouting the whole time. It wasn't really, it was a lot of heckling, but it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. And then we went to Motueka on the Friday night, and again, that was absolute carnage. And we ended up in a place called the Motueka Hotel. Have you heard of that?
I haven't heard of it. What was
I don't know if I can say the word on air, but it's quite rough. And it reminded me of some pubs that we used to drink in Dublin, but we got asked to leave because I sang a Welsh song. I tried to make up for all the abuse I was giving Wales. So there's a Welsh rap group called Goldie Lookin' Chain, and I was singing a few songs and everything was great. I was doing good. People were giving me the spare microphone to sing songs with them, and then I sang Your Mother's Got a Penis by Goldie Lookin' Chain. It's a genuine song. It's a really good song. Yeah. I should have won an awards, a Grammy. But yeah, they took the microphone off me and wouldn't let me sing again. So that was it, and we had to leave.
Yeah, well, I was just going to take the microphone off it. Jeez.
It's a great song, but the only place I can sing it is the Munster, apparently. So that's the only place I can get away with it.
No,
it was great. The South Island was amazing. Every show was sold out. Playhouse and Mapua. It was great. So Great Barrier this weekend and then Queenstown next weekend.
Oh, okay. So you're going to be all over the place, aren't you?
I am, yeah. I love it. It's great. Like I said, I normally go to Australia, but no one wants to go there at the minute. So this is great. I'm seeing places I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, well, you'll be the super spreader of the Piggy Sports Review.
Yay! Love it. I'm a big gem.
On that note, Al, it's always great speaking to you.
No worries, absolute pleasure.
Yeah, and we'll catch up again, and we'll speak about the quarterfinals as we get closer to the to deciding who's going to win Euro 2020.
Yeah,
okay, Al,
brilliant.
Have a great
you
week.
Too.
Cheers. Okay, sorry everyone for Alan's song. It caught me a bit off guard, so I do apologise. But that's Al. He's a comedian, very funny man. So on that, so after this, I will get the panel on, and we'll probably get a bit of maybe some common sense at the possible common sense. But yeah, we'll just get a bit of music. Welcome, everyone, back to the West Sprint Sports Review. Well, this part is the educational part, the sensible part, the mature part of the show, because I have the man, the legend, and the hopeless romantic, Mark Watson. Good afternoon, Mark.
Afternoon to you, Eamon, and afternoon to you, Sean.
G'day, mate. How are you?
And, of course, the silver tongue, silver fox, the man himself, Sean Summerfield. Hello, Sean. How are you, mate?
Good, Eamon. Hey, guys.
Good, good. Hey, first of all, the week that has been in sports. On Thursday at around 5:15, New Zealand were crowned the first World Test Championship. Guys, did you get a chance to look at this?
Yeah, look, I did. And, you know, it was great TV, wasn't it? It was dramatic. You know, historically, I think you're always a little bit nervy when it's New Zealand, because so often in the past, I guess we're snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. And, yeah, look, and well done to the ICC and allowing for that extra day as well, the sixth day, so that we could hopefully get a result. Look, it's been a long time coming, hasn't it? I don't think that other countries will maybe put as much on it as perhaps we do until this competition is well and truly established. And what I mean by that, you know, for, you know, another 10 years from now, possibly even another 20 years, not just similar a little bit to the 1987 Rugby World Cup, but it's only going to take Australia or England or India or one of those countries to win it next time around, and, you know, it will be a big, big deal. Look, I do think there is a little bit of merit in what Derek Coley said about the best of three. Don't disagree with that to a degree, because then it does take out any sort of conjecture whatsoever. But, hey, both teams knew what the rules were heading in. And I'd imagine if India had have won it, they would have, well, they wouldn't have been dancing in the streets because of COVID. But, yeah, I think there would have been a real sense of nationalism in India as well.
Sean, your thoughts?
Yeah. Look, the stars aligned, didn't they? And, you know, I didn't watch it live, mainly because I did that for the last World Cup and I didn't want to curse it again. but
so you're the reason, eh? You're the reason, Sean. Wow. Thank you for admitting it.
Nothing makes you more superstitious than sport, does it? And you know, God, the math that was just crazy. But anyway, look, I just think, for me, the best thing, and I know I'm a little bit Corinthian with the whole attitudes with sport, but the way that New Zealand has been talked about with this, the way these players have carried themselves, the way they handled victory, the way they've handled defeat, I think we should all be proud, and I think they're great examples. I think there's been probably a little bit, a lot of overstatement about where this sits in our sort of achievements. It's not Peter Snell. It's not the 8th of Munich, but it is. I believe it's probably not even the All Whites in 82, but what it is you know, the end of a long slog. New Zealand cricket have never done it easy, and I sort of look back and remember, you know, growing up with, you know, the days with Hadley and a few Brighton, a few guys around them. They did okay. They held their own now and then, but, you know, it was never definitive. The young guns we got excited about in the early 90s, but they didn't make it when the World Cup was here. There have been moments, but this one, you know, they've won that mace. They've done it with dignity. They've earned respect all over. And I know we've debated at times the sort of machinations that happened with some of them suddenly being available because there was no IPL. But look, put that aside. Cricket's had a tough time in recent years with results and other bits and pieces that's gone on, and a lot of drama off the field, all this sort of stuff. I'm just immensely proud to be a Kiwi sporting fan, and of what they've done for our country. And this is where sport can be great, because there's a few Australians I've noticed have been a bit gnarly online, but there seems to be an awful lot of respect from India. And I agree with you, hey, maybe do you play best of three? I mean, it's very seldom they do one-off tests, do they? It's a series, but yeah, definitely fate was on our side, because I didn't think the weather was going to happen at all.
Oh, yeah, just,
yeah, it's interesting. It is interesting, though, just the contrast in terms of the way we're perceived as being sort of the gentleman, and, you know, we hold our head high and we bring this real level of sort of sportsmanship to the table. And it's funny, even though Australia weren't involved, they just couldn't help themselves and be bad sports in all of us, couldn't they? And that's just the difference between the two sides. Boy, they can just, there's just a really ugly side to Australian sports sometimes. And I don't know, it seems to, yeah, it seems to be, you know, real sort of focal point seems to be around the cricket.
Yeah, and the fact is that this team were there because they'd done what they had to do to get there. The rules were the same for everybody. There was no joker card pulled out. It's been a long time coming, you know, and that was the reality of the whole thing. I think for us, we were just sort of amazed that we got there. But I mean, the way they played, and, you know, the whole thing, a star team will always be a team of stars, but the truth is we do actually have some bona fide stars in that team that I think many teams would be happy to have in their lineup.
Just on this, guys, and I just want to grab you both of your opinions. The thing I've noticed about New Zealand cricket in the last couple of years, it seems that their shop's in order. It seems that they work harmoniously with their Players Association. I know in the past that all of us have been critical on New Zealand cricket because they look like amateurs running a professional game, but it just seems more professional. It seems like their shop, they've got their crap sorted out for a change.
Hey, before Mark. Yeah. Winds up on this. It's a similar players association, isn't it, to the rugby one? And but yeah, you're speaking of the shop and order, guys. Wasn't it great to see Ross Taylor there with Williamson?
Absolutely.
That to me, you know, and I think credit, because you could have run away and hidden when things didn't go right for you, but he's held his head up and he's kept on going, and he's earned perpetual respect because of that. Sorry, Mark, off you go.
Yeah, you go, Mark.
No. Look, on the Players Association, I'm never, ever going to be a big fan. I just don't like the tail wagging the dog. But, look, and I did, I haven't told anybody this, but, you know, I was brutally harsh on cricket on radio when it came on, and I stuck with it for a long, long time. But last week I did send David White an email, and I don't know whether, I know he knows who I am because, they've been pretty dark on me, but I just said, look, David, I was this guy on radio, I said this, this and this, and I stand by that at the time, but what I do want to say is it's been just an absolute turnaround. Congratulations, your players look like athletes, it's great that you've got some depth, and I left it at that, and look, I've got a little reply from him, and so, you know, and that's all I ever really wanted. You know, I grew up loving the game of cricket, but I just, you go back to the days of the Dion Nashes and the Adam Pararis and the Chris Kens, and it was just like this absolute brat pack, you know, with all this talent, but just too cool for school, and basically just a bunch of players that were so far up themselves it wasn't funny, and that's been removed now, and now we're starting to see the results of that.
Mark, are you the older you're getting? Are you softening up? Are you mellow out? Are you beginning to mellow out?
No, I'm just trying to be fair. But in talkback radio, it's very easy to back yourself into a corner. It's very hard to sometimes get out of that corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you have a bit of a time. And as I said, I don't disagree with what I said. In fact, I think you had to have guys like me at times because everybody else were cheerleaders. But, you know, I look back, sometimes it was more about the way I said it rather than actually what I said, that I was probably a little bit more disappointed in. And that's just part of that learning curve of talkback radio. And as you get older, you get a bit smarter in terms of your delivery.
Yep. And well done for you, Mark. That's really good. Anyway, we're going to talk about the Olympics is coming up soon. Obviously, Mark, you're getting all ready to fly on that big plane to Japan. Just some of your thoughts. I've heard Val Adams' rival is out of the Olympics. Possible medal for Val. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, possible medal for Valerie, but look, she hasn't thrown anywhere close to 20 meters, 20-40, 20-50, or win it. There or thereabouts. So, look, I think a medal chance. But, look, I actually just want something slightly different. I've been having to learn my names, okay? Learning my names is the hardest thing, I think, as a commentator, because I've got this kayaking in the second week, and I think it'll be a big week for New Zealand with Lisa. But here's one of her major competitors. This is how you spell her last name, okay? Then I'll just have a quick try at trying to say it, and I'll say it really slowly. You probably haven't got pens, so you can't write it down. But W-A-L...
W-A-L...
C Z-Y-K-I-E-W-I-C-Z. That's your last name. Now, how the hell do you think you say that?
I gave up after Z, Mark. That's me gone. So, yeah.
So W-A-L-C-Z-Y-K-I-E-W-I-C-Z is pronounced Voltakavich. There you go.
What is it?
Kavich. And that's what I'm having to basically do between now and getting on an aeroplane, is scour every World Cup result in kayaking, going back the last 2 years, and making sure that I've got a pretty good handle, because they might only feature once in a heat, but I've got a pretty good handle on how I pronounce their name. So, that is one of the challenges that goes with it.
Hey, speaking of challenges, because I don't think it's over with the whole this COVID nonsense, if it really knocks a bunch more out, are these results going to be a bit like Montreal, LA and Moscow, that there's always a bit of a shadow over some of them because of the who could come and who didn't?
Oh, look, that's a hard one, isn't it? I mean, I still think we put up Ferguson and McDonald's medals up there, don't we, even though most of the Eastern European nations...
Oh, Alan's the worst count. John Walker counts.
Yeah.
Look, it's a really, really hard one. I'll probably only really get an idea once I'm there and I get a feel for it. But, you know, we're not seeing a major pull out of the major nations, are we? Where it's going to be different is we don't really have a form guide coming in because there hasn't been a lot of international competition. Arguably, there hasn't been a lot of drug testing either. So, you know, I think one of the exciting things for me going is actually just the fact that it'll just be so damn unique, and... it'll be like no other Olympics in history. And so, look, it's compelling, but certainly having a look at what Lisa Carrington and these guys are doing, I mean, you know, they're preparing for it like they did for London and like they did for Rio. So, I guess only time will tell, Sean.
Yeah, look, I actually was in Japan for work at the end of 2019, the very end of 2019, before we knew anything was coming. And everywhere you looked in Tokyo, there was the cars driving around, you know, with the Olympic logos on and everything. I just thought of that the other day, how long a time it's been coming for them. And sort of there's a big part of me feels like, you know, hey, they've worked hard for this, but no other nation, I think, well, maybe China, would get away with an event where so many of the population didn't want it to happen. But they're so compliant, no one's speaking out.
Now, well, I've been given a playbook which is 70 pages, which requires downloading apps and two negative tests, one 96 hours out before flying, one at least 72 hours out before flying, test at the moment you arrive, apps up and running. I mean, it is very, very different. It's actually, in terms of the attention to detail that these guys have put in place, you would be surprised at the attention to detail in and around venues, in and around transport. If there's every caution that you could take, I think they are taking. That's the thing, isn't it? Should it happen? Well, that's a discussion. But it is going to happen. And like the America's Cup, hopefully when it does start and it kicks off on that first day, I think the opening ceremony is the 23rd and it starts on the 24th. You know, New Zealand do what they've done every Olympics, what they do with every America's Cup, and sort of nationalism sort of sweeps the country and it becomes an obsession for 2 weeks.
Certainly does. Just one question, Mark. The only thing that really surprises me is that they're still going to have an opening ceremony and a closing ceremony. I would have thought just for, you know, safety purposes that they may have just scrapped that. I'm just really surprised.
No, it's all symbolic, isn't it? It's all symbolic. It's bookending the games. You won't see athletes walk in. You might see the flag bearer and that'll be about it. It'll be a different opening ceremony.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to have the games, might as well have them, you know?
Yep, might as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's speak a bit of motorsport, Sean. Max Verstappen, he is making a real launch on this form on the F1, mate.
Yep, it's happening. We sort of, we'd hinted at it sort of, he was the one that could do it. And, we've talked about him for a long time. Being special enough, you can be as special as you like. If your car's not the best car, you're not going to do it. The crazy thing is, and I look at the Honda thing on the wing of that car, Honda are pulling out. And they're pulling out just when things look incredible. But I think Red Bull will just take over that engine. But I think if I was Honda, I'd quickly change my mind and stay involved, because this is just incredible what they're pulling off. But yeah, he was in control from the start, although season a little bit of trouble for his victory burnout. So that's the young fellas having a bit too much fun. Interesting thing on that, we're back at the Osterreich Ring, the Red Bull Ring, next week for the Austrian Grand Prix. This was the Styrian Grand Prix. Remember, this is Red Bull's home track, so this is a huge, huge win, so you can see why he did his burnout. But numbers-wise, this is the bit. He's on 156 points now. Hamilton's on 138. And then Perez is back in the other Red Bull in 96. So they're first and third in the championship. Fourth is Lando Norris from Mercedes McLaren. So, it's a very, very interesting sort of lineup here. And this is a funny year, sort of a holding year, because a whole new car coming in next year and everything. But it's the theory might be Mercedes are busy focusing on next year. They've done this before when they sort of they're prepared. They're happy to write off a year if it means they can focus energy to next year. But, yeah, that said, I don't think they'll throw it away. But it's just incredible because Red Bull never looked in trouble. It was just a perfect effort, and we are set to an awesome head-to-head battle for this championship. And
it'll be interesting, Sean, to see how Lewis Hamilton conducts himself when things aren't going so well. I mean, he's been an absolute ambassador, hasn't he? Not necessarily in the early part of his career, but certainly in the last 5 or 6 years, he's been brilliant for the sport. He's conducted himself really, really well. But it will just be interesting to see how his mood, how his persona, and how he portrays himself if this continues to go Verstappen's way for the rest of the season.
Yeah, one of my theories in sport, I might have said it you before, is that success hides all manner of failures. And you only see what's not right when people aren't winning. And, he hasn't had to deal with this for a long time. He's had adversity, but it's not the kind of adversity everyone else has felt. So far he seems to be, he's sort of holding his head up. But let's see as we just get a bit further down the season and he suddenly realises that there's no coming back.
I think this F1 season looks brilliant. Well, I have to say, guys, we've actually done real well, but I'm actually going to mention this Wednesday. Who's going to get up and watch the England versus Germany game in the Euro 2020?
No, I will be. I hate English sport to a degree, but I do like English football. They are my team internationally when it comes to soccer. I'm not going to be honest, I've really enjoyed it. I felt for the Netherlands getting knocked out today by sort of arguably, a lesser nation in the Czech Republic on form. And then the number one side in the world beating the defending champion, so Belgium getting up over Portugal. Tomorrow, France take on Switzerland. And what makes it scary is that in the quarterfinals, you've got the Italians who look fantastic taking on Belgium. There's just no easy game. It is absolutely just such a brutal competition. And, you could see England beating Germany 4-0, but you could see them also going out on a penalty shootout. I've got to say, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And, it's a nice little lead into the Olympic Games for me.
I'm loving the results there, Eamon. Before we go, another huge result. St. Thomas' first 15 beat Christchurch Boys High. And I think that's the result. As good as this is watching Denmark do what they do, that's my result.
Absolutely. I was speaking to Hammer Hammer.
When are going to play your boys? When are Mighty Man Up at Grammar going to play your boys?
I'll give us a fair chance there to Watto.
What's that?
I've beaten you. Anyway, I've got to go now. I've probably got Pat Drums there giving me a call. What?